Welcome to Channel 9. My name is Tomáš Petříček, and in this talk I'll show you something about how F-sharp learned to stop worrying and love the data. So many of you have heard of F-sharp type providers, which is a mechanism for accessing data in the new version of F-sharp. And in this talk I'll show you various uses of the concept. So we'll cover topics ranging from data access to language interoperability, and really, the main point of the talk is how you can easily access data with F-sharp. My name is Tomáš Petříček. I am the author of Real World Functional Programming, which is an F-sharp tutorial. I'm currently working on F-sharp Deep Dives, which is a book written not by me, but by various industry experts from the F-sharp community. So that's a really good place where you can learn about different users and different uses of F-sharp. And I'm also doing F-sharp trainings in London and in New York. One thing I want to say before we start is I want to introduce you to the F-sharp Software Foundation, which is a new initiative which is supported by Microsoft and the open source community around F-sharp, as well as various other commercial users. So this is the place where you can go, join the F-sharp community, learn about other various interesting projects, learn about various commercial libraries for F-sharp, and so on. Okay, so let's get to the main topic of the talk, and that's data. As you definitely know, data is everywhere, and most of the applications these days are really focused on data. So accessing data in your application is the key question. Now, there's more data than you can imagine. I'll start by looking at the World Bank, which is an international organization that collects data about various countries. And the interesting fact is that they have something around 8,000 indicators about all countries in the world. So accessing that amount of data is really, really hard, and searching that amount of data is difficult as well. When you use the web browser today to search for something on the internet, you usually get very useful hints. The search engines will tell you, you're probably searching for this, and it can even tell you what's the value you want to know. So, but when you're programming, you don't get the same feeling. When you start programming, you're accessing data, you have to look for the documentation to find what's the API you want to call, and so on. So when I want to access data, I want to do something like this. I want to have a type that represents the World Bank, and when I hit dot, I want to get an IntelliSense that will tell me what my options are. And this is exactly what you get with F-sharp type providers. So I'll start by showing type providers in Try F-sharp, which is... So Try F-sharp is a web-based development environment, web-based tool, where you can start learning F-sharp, and you can write various pieces of F-sharp code, test them in your web browser. So what I'll be doing now is that I'll use the World Bank type provider in Try F-sharp running in my browser, and I'll show you how we can access some data. The site also has various tutorials, so you can use it to learn about the language and about various problems that people solve with F-sharp. And you can also create new files and share them. So this is a sample which I created earlier. And so far, this is just loading the type provider, which looks like a normal .NET assembly. There's actually something interesting going on behind the scenes, so we'll see that in a minute. The website has IntelliSense as well, so when I say World Bank dot, I get a completion as usual. And I can run the code by selecting it and hitting Control Enter. And now when I click data, it offers me to go through the different countries. And that's where the interesting bit happens. You can see that the IntelliSense list comes with all the countries that the World Bank knows about. So I can choose a country, and it's a bit like this search engine experience. And when I pick a country, I get the name and so on. And I also get indicators where I can access the different information that World Bank stores about the countries. So for example, let's look at the school enrollment in universities. And if I select this piece of code and run it, it connects to the World Bank and gets the current data. So it gives me a list of different years and university enrollment. And I can easily visualize the data and draw a line chart showing how the university enrollment changes. Now, I think the important point is that when you start using this, you really see the different possibilities for what kind of applications you can do or what kind of data you can get. Or when you start reading newspapers, you can easily see that you can check the facts. So you can make sure that the politicians aren't lying to you. So for example, what we can very easily do in this case is that we can take two different data sets, school enrollment for male and female students, and we can use another functions for working with charts to combine these two data sets and display just a single chart that shows the two different values and how they change. So let me show you one more example, which I prepared earlier. So in this sample, we actually get some data and do some computations over the data, which is something that F# is really, really good at. So I'll just run the code we wrote earlier. And now I can get multiple different countries. I can store them in a list. You could get them dynamically as well if you're interested in one specific region, for example. And then what we want to do is that we want to calculate the average school enrollment rate for these countries. And F# is really good at writing calculations that process data. It's one of the areas where the language really, really works well. So what we are doing in this example is that we get, for every country, we get the school enrollment data, and then we simply concatenate all the values. So if I run this, I'll get a single list which contains, for every year, it contains a couple of values from different countries, and then we can group the data by the year, meaning that we'll get for every year all the different values from different countries. And finally, we want to do a bit of processing, because if there's data available only for a single country, it would skew the chart badly. So we say if there's only two data points missing, then we are okay. Otherwise, we'll skip this point. And for every point, we take average over the different countries. So this gives us a single chart that shows the average over different countries. And I think this sample really shows something where F# works extremely well. You get the data from possibly different data sources. You do some processing to compare, to extract the information you're interested in, and visualize that easily all in your web browser. Now, I started by doing this in a web browser, but you can very easily take the code and switch over to Visual Studio and continue developing some more complex applications. So I'll start by creating a new F# tutorial project, and I'll place it somewhere on my hard drive. So the tutorial project includes some examples of using F#. We don't need that. And if I want to use the type provider mechanism, I can reference some of the standard type providers that are shipped with F#. The World Bank one is actually a type provider that's maintained by the F# community. So if I get from NuGet packages, if I get the F# data project, then I'll get the World Bank type provider, which I was just using in the web interface. So I can pretty much copy most of the code. I'll just need to start by referencing the DLL, which I just downloaded. So I'll need a .NET 4 version of F#.data.dll. So when I load the type provider, the type provider is actually extension to the compiler. So for security reasons, I need to explicitly enable it. And after loading the type provider, I'll also want to use a charting library. And there's a desktop version of the charting library that we were using in Try F#. So once I load this, I'm good to go. And I can open a namespace F#.data where the type provider lives. And I can, just like previously, use the World Bank data, get some context representing connection to the service, and then I can just copy the code which I wrote just now. So and everything will work in my Visual Studio. So let me just run the calculation again. Oh, I forgot to include a namespace for the charting library. So that's done. And now I can run the code and get the chart. Now, one thing you might want to do when you switch to the Visual Studio version is that currently when we are downloading the files, we are actually downloading them one by one. We are downloading them country by country. So we might want to do that in parallel. And to do that, I can actually show you one more interesting feature of type providers, which is that some of the type providers can take parameters. So when you're importing the data, you can specify which source you want to include, or you can say how you want to see the data. So if I set this asynchronous parameter, then suddenly I'll get all the data accessible, but with asynchronous interface. So now this piece of code is still the same, but if I look at the school enrollment data, now you can see right here that it's returning an asynchronous computation. And if I have a list of asynchronous computations, then I can use the F# library to say, run this in parallel, or compose this into a single asynchronous computation that will run in parallel, and then run the computation by spawning multiple threads or multiple tasks and do it. In this sample, the World Bank website is actually limiting the amount of parallelism, but you can see the idea that it's very easy to take some code make it asynchronous and run it in Visual Studio as well. So to summarize this example, I showed you the Try F-Sharp website, which is really a nice place where you can start playing with F-Sharp, explore various type providers for accessing data, and it hosts a number of really good tutorials. And we've been using the F-Sharp data library for accessing data from the World Bank. There's actually quite a few other features in the library. We'll see some of them in a minute. Now, another interesting thing we can do with F-Sharp is that F-Sharp has really good metaprogramming capabilities. And there's a number of projects that let you take your F-Sharp code and translate it to JavaScript and run it as a pure HTML5 web application. So let me just show you another example of doing this. And I have a sample project which you can download from the Channel 9 website. And at the moment, I started with a really simple stub that doesn't do much. So what you can see here is that I'm defining a program. I'm using some namespaces. I'm using the FunScript library. And that library comes with an F-sharp type provider for interoperation with TypeScript library mappings. So what's happening here is that I'm importing the TypeScript definition for the standard JavaScript library, and I get a fully typed view of the data, of the API. So you can see that in the lib type, I have all the usual JavaScript functions, all the usual JavaScript API, and all the types imported. So if I say hello world and call lib.alert and run the program, then what's happening right now is that the F-sharp library, the F-sharp program got compiled, it got executed, and when it executes, it looks at the code and translates the code to JavaScript. And it also starts a simple web server. You could change it to just emit JS file and import the file yourself. I'm using this launcher, which is really easy way to start or test your code. So you can see that the alert call in F-sharp got translated to hello world alert in JavaScript. Now, we can actually do a lot more interesting things. For example, we can take the F-sharp code we just wrote to work with the World Bank data. So let me just copy this piece of code, which references the F-sharp data library. And instead of using the standard JavaScript libraries, we will be using jQuery. So I have a snippet that references the jQuery library, and then we reference the World Bank type provider as in the previous example. And in our main function, we want to generate a UI that will let us click on the different countries and compare the selected countries. So let me copy one more snippet, and I'll put this in a render function. And what this snippet does is that it uses the HiCharts charting library, and it creates, at the moment, it just creates some sample data and shows a chart with the data. If I was writing this from scratch, I would get IntelliSense when accessing the HiCharts library, because there's type mapping for it. So we can see the sample artificially created data as a chart. And now we want to do something more interesting. And we actually want to get some data from the World Bank. So to do that, because we will be doing some HTTP requests, and that has to be asynchronous in JavaScript. So we can use the F# asynchronous programming model even when writing JavaScript applications. So I'll just wrap the render function in JavaScript in the async block, and when we want to run it, I'll use a function that starts the function. I'll use start immediate, which means start the asynchronous computation on the current thread. In JavaScript, there's only a single thread normally, and run the piece of code until there is some asynchronous operation. So let's get the data, which will be our asynchronous operation. Now, if I want to do an asynchronous operation inside the async block, I have to use this let bang construct, which says do the operation on the right hand side, and whenever it finishes, run the rest of the workflow. So what we want to do is that we actually want to iterate over all the countries which we have in our countries list. I'll just turn this into a function which returns an array instead of F# list, because that's going to be more efficient. And now we can iterate over all the countries. And for every country, we'll get the school enrollment indicator. So let me just pick the one for university enrollment. And now we need to transform the data into the format that the charting library expects. So I have a snippet for that already, because we need to turn the sequence into an array of arrays, which is what the library expects. We want to set the name for this chart line to the name of the country, which I can get from the country field as well. So that's all provided by the type provider. And if I run it now, I would get a list or a single chart with all the countries. So let me add one more feature. Just before we start doing the rendering at the beginning of the main function, we can write a piece of code to go over all the countries. And for every country, we generate an input checkbox which the user can tick if they want to see the data. So now this piece of code is just using the jQuery library. You can see that when I use some of the jQuery objects, I get again an IntelliSense, which is generated based on the type specification for jQuery. So this builds a list of checkboxes, and when we are rendering, we can actually iterate over the checkboxes, and we can check if the checkbox is checked. So the info's value contains country and the checkbox HTML element, and we can say if check, and again we get the IntelliSense for jQuery API, and we can ask if the checkbox is checked, and if that's the case, then we want to add the country. Now the jQuery API can be untyped in various places, so we just need to cast this to Boolean to make the code work. And I think we are ready to run the sample now. So again, when we run it, it will compile the F# code to JavaScript, and it will replace all the World Bank type provider calls with an actual JavaScript that does the communication over the REST API. Now, I actually forgot one thing in the sample because we are only calling the render function initially when the program starts. But what we actually want to do is that we want to call it whenever the user clicks on the checkbox. So we need to add one more piece of code to iterate over all the checkboxes and set the click handler to whenever you click on a checkbox, we want to run the render function to update the current view of the chart. So when the code runs, we'll get a pure JavaScript HTML5 website, and when we click on different countries, it will get the data for the different countries and draw a chart using standard HTML5 charting technology. So that's F-sharp and type providers running as a HTML application. Now, I've been using FunScript, which is an open source implementation of the F-sharp to JavaScript translation. So that's available on GitHub. There's quite a few other samples as well. There's a lot more to web programming in F-sharp. There's a very interesting project called WebSharper, which also lets you write F-sharp and run it as a JavaScript, but it has lots of different libraries. You can find a more detailed list of various web programming stacks for F-sharp on the fsharp.org website if you're interested. So in the sample so far, we've been using one specific data source. We've been using the World Bank, and that's a very interesting data set. So there's a special type provider specifically for accessing the World Bank. But very often, you just want to access some other REST API or get data from some other source, which is what you're interested in. Now, REST, as you probably know, it's not really a specific single technology or single format. It's more of a style of a software architecture, and there are some common patterns that people use on the web. So many web APIs use the URL-based requests, HTTP requests, and communicate using JSON or XML. So if we want to access that kind of data, we can't really write a type provider for every single web API that's out there. So what we need instead is something that's more general purpose. And that's something I'm going to show you in the next example. So this time, we'll use a type provider that lets us work with any JSON documents. So I'll start in F-sharp Interactive again, just to show you how we can use the type provider, and I'll be using the F-sharp data library again. So we reference F-sharp data, and one other thing that's there aside from the World Bank type provider is a type provider for processing JSON documents. It also has a couple of helper functions for making HTTP requests. The sample which I want to show you is how to call the movie database API. The movie database has some documentation on the website. For instance, what we want to do is that we want to search for movies, and the documentation tells us if you want to do this, you have to request this specific URL. So I'll copy the root URL which we need to access. And then to get to search for movies, we need to specify this relative link. Okay, so this will search for a movie, and it also tells us to use the query parameter. So if we say query and let's say Batman, then this will be the URL to call for searching. And we also need to specify the API key, which I already have here. So this is the URL we want to get. And I can do that using the http.request function, which is in the F# data library. So there's my URL. And I actually need to specify a header as well, because if we look at the documentation, it says when we are sending the request, we have to specify that accept header is application.json. So the http.request function makes this a bit easier. And when we run the call, it runs the request and we get some JSON data back. So what can we do with the JSON data? Well, we can either copy it from F# Interactive. So let me just copy it. It's fairly long. We can try looking at the structure, or we could try looking at the documentation, which says this is roughly how the structure of the JSON file looks like. Now, what I'm going to do instead is that I'll just save this JSON data, which I got from my sample request, and I'll save it into the directory where I have my script file. So I'll call it moviedata.json, and now what I can do is that I can use a type provider. I can use the JSON type provider, and I can give it the sample file as an input. And what the type provider does is that it looks at the sample input and it infers the types from the sample input. You could give it multiple files as well if you have multiple samples. But for our example, it's actually sufficient to give it one representative sample. And now we can parse the data and we get some search results back. It's still represented as JSON under the cover, but when I use this search results value, it has a type automatically generated by the type provider, which represents the data set. So we can see that there's a page field, there's total results. These are, as you can see, these are inferred to be of type integer, because the sample contains just numbers. Results is actually inferred to be an array or a collection of some entities. So we can iterate over the result. And when we iterate over the result is again statically typed value. And it has fields like popularity, which is a decimal. It has title, which is a string. Release date is inferred to be a choice type, which means that it may be a date time or it may be something else. In this case, it could be missing. So let's just print, for example, let's just print the titles from the data set. And you can see we got the different titles of the movies in our F# Interactive. So In this example, we used a different kind of type provider because it's not specific for single API. It's very general provider which can work with any JSON data, provided you give it some example, and it infers the type, the structure from the example. The F# data library has different type providers which are like that for accessing XML data, JSON and CSV files. So that's another very useful thing you can get from F# type providers. When we are calling REST API, it's actually often the case that the API follows similar patterns. So if you had some documentation or some schema for your REST web service, then you could almost write a type provider which lets you access any REST API and gives you some static type safety for that API. When I wrote the sample for accessing the movie database, I was using a service called apiary.io, and this is a service that lets you document your REST API. It has some additional tools like testing, or it generates a mock proxy based on your specification, so you can just draft your API specification and start coding against the proxy without actually implementing your full API. So that's very useful project. But interestingly, what they let you do is that they also let you access programmatically this specification. So what we can do in F# is that we can call apiary.io, get their specification for the API, and from that specification, we can infer what does the REST API for that specific website, what does it look like. So that's the next thing I want to demonstrate. Now this type provider is located under fsharp.data.experimental because it still has rough edges, but I think it's very interesting direction. So that's something I wanted to definitely show you. And there's again an apiary type provider. So I'll call this MovieDB. I'm defining a type which represents the type that's generated for a specific API. And this takes a single static parameter, which is the name of the documentation on the apiary.io website. So I just had to copy this bit. Now, the type provider only looks at the specification from apiary.io. And when I actually want to call something, I need to create a new instance of this MovieDB type and give it the actual location, the root where the web service lives. So if I run this piece of code, it actually downloads the specification from the REST from the apiary.io website. It tries to do some matching of common patterns, and before we can call it, we also need to specify the API key. So the way to do this in this example is that on the generated type, we can say add query param, and the name of the param is API key, and the value I just copied from the other file. So once we do that, all the calls will have this additional parameter. And now, if you look at what's generated there, you can see that we have a few common methods that will be available for every API, but then we have some specific things for the movie database, like we can get information about keywords, about some lists, movies, people, and we can also search. So if I look under the search entity, it offers me various things we can search for. So let's search for person, for example. And now, when we are searching, it's not actually possible to infer all the structure from the documentation. So when we want to pass an additional query parameter, we can say query equals and specify the parameters there. So before we run the sample, the root URL should actually be just the root server. So I'll need to update this bit, and when I do that, I can finally run my query, search for different people in movies, and again, it actually looked at the JSON sample, which is part of the documentation on the Apiary.io website, and inferred a nice type from that. So if we go to results, you can see that this is a collection, an array. So we can iterate over all the people, and every person has the usual properties, like name, for example. So we can print that name. We can print ID as well. ID is inferred to be int because it's available for all the people and it's always a number. So if we print it, then we get a nice list of various people in the movie industry with a name containing Craig. Or we can, if we are interested in some specific data, then we can get data about a person and specify the ID of the person. So this gives us detailed information about Daniel Craig. And we can, for example, find, let's say, where he's from. So Daniel Craig was apparently born in Chester. So to summarize, what I used in this sample is a type provider that looks at some specification of the REST API, and it looks for common patterns in the API, like specifying movie slash and ID to get a movie summary and so on. And based on that documentation or based on that specification, it gives you a nice type-safe typed API, which you can use from F# to access any REST service which has this documentation. Now, there's probably a lot of different competing standards for specifying REST APIs. And I think writing type providers for that is a really interesting project. So far I was doing that just in F# Interactive, but the Apiary type provider supports translation to JavaScript as well. So let me show you just one more web programming example where we'll use the Apiary type provider to search the movie database, and we'll run the whole thing as a plain JavaScript application. So I already have most of the code here. The file starts with a couple of lines that initialize connection to the Apiary type provider, import some helpers for writing jQuery code, and then in my main function, I'm currently just defining a search function which whenever we call it with a search term, it clears the results HTML element on the page, and it creates a new div element saying there were no results. So let me run it just to see what we actually want to get. So we want to get a website where when we say search for Batman, we'll get some data in the found movies. At the moment, we don't have any data. We are not really connected to the movie database yet, so it just returns nothing. But let's fill in the missing pieces. So what we need to do first, or let me actually start by doing some live coding again. So the apiary type provider, which we already have, I can again copy a few lines of code from the previous interactive sample. So in the main function, we'll need to create a connection to the movie database. We'll need to provide the API key, and then we can call various functions of the data object or the generated type. So we can search for a movie. Now, in JavaScript, we can only do that asynchronously because we are not allowed to write blocking code. So again, we had the same problem with the World Bank. But because we're in F#, which has full support for asynchronous programming, we can just use the F# asynchronous programming model. So if I use an asynchronous version of the search method, then let me specify the query search parameter. Okay, so that's what we are searching for. And this result is again some asynchronous computation. If you were doing this in JavaScript or in TypeScript, where you don't have the async programming model, you would have to specify the rest of the code as a callback and use the normal lambda function based callback style. In F#, we can just mark the function as async. So that's my async search function. When we call it, we have to do that asynchronously. So we'll say async.start immediate. And now we can call the search function asynchronously. And what we get back is just a value, just an entity. And we can iterate over the results just like we did in the previous case. And for every result, let's generate an H3 element, which will show the name of the movie. I actually called it movies, but that's fine. And we want to show the title. So you can actually see when I do a typo in my code, if I, for example, spell title incorrectly, I get a full checking because the types are there, they're fully inferred, and they're checked just like normal F# code or just like normal C# code if you're used to static typing. So if we run the sample again, when we search for some movie, we'll get back a list of the movie titles. In this example, the compilation of the program is actually kind of complicated because it needs to look at the whole apiary documentation and figure out what's the right structure. So if we search, for example, for Star Wars, then you get a list of all the Star Wars movies. So that's looking good. And let me just fill in some more snippets to make the sample a bit more interesting. So I added a function which shows some details about a single movie when we click on it to see more information. So what this does is that it asynchronously gets movie details, fills in title, overview, creates a link to the image, and then it gets all the casts for the movie, so we'll see all the actors and so on. We're doing some data processing as well using normal F# array functions to sort the data. And when we want to generate the movie information, we'll actually use jQuery to build a couple of more elements. So what's happening here is that we generate a link to show the movie details. We'll generate some list with detailed information about the movie, and we add it to the results div. Now, one last thing I can show you in this example is that what I need to add, when the user clicks on this link, we want to show the movie details. So I need to add a handler for click. And again, the type of the jQuery API is inferred, or it's imported from the TypeScript specification. So click is a normal method in F#, and I can call it, and I can say call the showDetails function. So let's call showDetails function with item.id as the argument, and we need to start the asynchronous computation. So that's all I need to write to get a fully working website that connects to the world, to the movie database, uses the movie database REST API, processes, parses the incoming JSON, and shows it to the user in a fairly nice way. So let's look at the list of James Bond movies. We get a list. When you click on a favorite James Bond movie, you get some movie details with the description and all the cast and so on. So I could write this in a fully statically typed way, but I used quite a few different data sources or untyped APIs. And the type provider mechanism is really powerful, and it makes it possible to import the structure from an external data source or infer the data types from samples. So to summarize, we looked at throughout the talk, I actually used four different type providers, and all of them are written by the F# community. They live in the F#.data library, and it really shows the unexpected power of the mechanism, because I think many of these examples are something that the F# team didn't really expect when they designed the feature. And so this is really an interesting area where you can play with various interesting ideas. So we used the JSON type provider, which is an example of a type provider which works for any data file, and it infers the structure. So that's one that's very universal. There's similar providers for XML or CSV. You can use it to work with open government data or lots of data sources that are available on the web these days. We also used a fairly specific type provider, the World Bank type provider, which is really tuned to work against one specific API, which is really an interesting data source. So that's why I think it deserves a specific type provider. And if you have any other data source of interesting data, you can write a type provider, for example, for the finance data to get stock prices in a type-safe way for different countries. The next thing we used is the TypeScript provider, which is of quite different kind because it doesn't really access data. It just lets us integrate with other programming languages. And this integration is really, really powerful and interesting feature as well. There's various projects in the F# world that, for example, let you call R, the statistics language, from F# in a typed way by looking at the structure of R functions and giving you a typed access. And finally, I showed the apiary type provider, which is accessing some fairly complex schema description for REST APIs and makes that available as F# functions. So if you want to learn more about F# and type providers, then definitely check out the tryf#.org website, which has many of the type providers which I was using. You can get the World Bank data. You can get data from other online sources. So that's very interesting page, which also has quite detailed introduction to F# and tutorials if you're not familiar with it yet. You can also join an increasing list of various user groups. There's a list of the user groups available on fsharp.org. You can find more information about F# on fsharp.org as well. And finally, if you want to learn more, we are often offering trainings and we are running tutorials on F# in London and New York. Thank you.